Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And I hope you'll be able to glean some things out of this as we go through it, because it's kind of a backdoor way to get to it. For God is not unrighteous, oh, that's a good statement right there, to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, Barbara just brought out the thing about fullness of assurance. Of hope to the end, that you be not slothful. Oh, there's that little critter again. You know, he was here a few weeks ago, the little sloth hanging in the tree, a little folding of the hands, a little slumber, and poverty comes on you like an armed thief. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I'd like to talk particularly, well, there's a lot of meat in there, and I'm going to come back to it. But I want you to see also this thing about followers, following. 1 Corinthians 11:1, it's so short, you'd have a hard time finding it before I finished it. But I'll do my best to slow it down. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's a very bold statement to make, that Paul made when he said, be followers of me. But then the condition is, even as I also am of Christ. It also means to be an imitator of. So for Paul to say that, he didn't want people to follow him just for the sake of following him. But there was something about his life, his new life in Christ and his lifestyle. If you tell somebody to follow you, will you set an example for them to follow that will benefit them, that will be a blessing to them, that they will grow and learn? And then Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And we will be going back to Hebrews. But from Matthew 4, 18 through 20, and this is during the period of time when Jesus was calling his disciples. In verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's really important. If you tell somebody to follow you, you need to have a plan, a reason, a motive to improve their life. If you want them to follow you, then you've got to give them something in return that's going to be of benefit to them. There needs to be an impartation of something that you have that will be a blessing to others. Otherwise, don't tell anybody to follow you. Ask faith when I drive. I wouldn't want anybody to follow me where places where the GPS said take a right and I took it too soon and ended up in a no man's land. Oh, we meant the next one. Oh, that's nice, after it takes 20 minutes to get back on course. And they straightaway left their nets and followed him. So coming back up to where we started with Hebrews, I hope for your sakes that you will really take into careful consideration, take a few minutes and review your life, that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Whether that's caregiving, ministry of helps, ministering to people, helping them, serve them, putting their needs before your own, doing things for other people. And sometimes not even thinking about, you just do it because it needs to be done. And not realizing that there's one who knows what you've done to be of benefit to somebody else. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. The implication of that is, as if he did, then it wouldn't be righteous. And God is a righteous God. So he's not unrighteous in that he remembers the good things that you do. So if you didn't come for any other thing today except lunch, notice there's a lot of good food provided for you today in love. Some of it you brought and some somebody else brought. But come knowing that God even sees those things. And there's always more than enough. And it says, which you have shown toward his name. Did you know that every time you serve someone, if you have the right attitude, you're serving the Lord through the people that you serve? See, he notices those things. So don't stop doing good, because it's always the right thing to do. It's always right to do the right thing. And that you have ministered to the saints, your brothers and sisters, and do minister. Minister means to serve. Otherwise, people get the wrong idea about serving. It just means putting the needs of others before our own and doing what needs to be done. And then he says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The full assurance. Are you fully persuaded that you have hope at the end of your last breath? Are you fully persuaded on a daily basis that God honors his word, that he performs his word, that he follows through on what he said, and that his promises are true, and that no matter what anybody else tells you, run it by the word, and then come into agreement with whoever you determine to be speaking the truth. God will always speak the truth. So it's always good to come into agreement with him. And of course, the substance of faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So full assurance of hope, but faith is involved in the process to consider the source. If God said it, it has to be true. And no matter who tries to talk you out of that, they can't, because the inner man, the real you in the earth suit, the spirit man in Christ, already knows these things are true. But life has a way of muddying the issue sometimes. We have to be very diligent, and diligent means continue in what you're doing until you get proficient at doing what you're doing, so that it's no longer work. There's a joy in serving others. But you have to really, you have to look deep at who's leading you to do those things, and it will be the Holy Spirit. But Paul called it the inner man, the spirit man, inside the earth suit, the real you. When you do things from that spirit, it will always be right, and it will always be fruitful, and it will continue as the way of life as long as you live, or as long as you're able to do those things. You can carry on and continue. I mean, Moses didn't even get started in his ministry until he was 80. I got 4 years to go. Oh, almost 3 years now. So, you know, I feel like I'm just getting started. When I look at biblical people, you know, and then the word tells us to follow those people and see the outcome of their lives. That you be not slothful. We remember what sloths do. Slothful means filled with the habits of a sloth or the lifestyle. Don't take things for granted. Don't be foolish about our faith confession. you can speak to a lot of things and change circumstances by the power of your words. Don and Gary and I were talking earlier this morning, and we were talking about speaking the word over our children when they were still in the womb. And we were new believers. We never wanted any kids before we got saved. They would just mess up a good dope party. We were very selfish with our lives. It was just part of our life. But then we got saved, and then we both wanted children. And I remember we just had started learning the word a little bit, and we found a promise. And this is not part of the message, but it's a freebie. There's no charge, so you don't have to put any money in the box for this one. But I want to read this to you and show you what happened. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. One and two, and it says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. When we first learned that Faith was pregnant, we began to turn the scripture into a confession of our brand new baby-like faith. And we did it like this: Father, we thank you that our children obey their parents in the Lord. I thank you, Father, that they honor their mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise. And we kind of prayed a prayer of thanksgiving with that word, that it will be well with them, our children, and that they may live long on the earth. And by faith, we still thank God so often for those verses. And I can tell you what happened. A son who started at the bottom of the totem pole is now the fourth highest techie at Newsbank in Chester, which is still one of Vermont's largest employers. He works from home anywhere he goes. They gave him a special laptop to work with. It's all secure. He writes security codes and other things for the company. Our daughter works in a credit union. She handles people's in the loan department, their leases and deeds and things like that. And they've done very, very well. And it angered some of our Christian brothers and sisters because they said, well, I tried that and it didn't work. And I wanted to say, but have you been diligent? Have you been doing it even when you don't see it happening? You see, some of these things we learned more than 30 years ago. And so some of you that maybe haven't looked at some of these things and you want to see some changes and you're asking God to change them, well, maybe God is asking you to change them by changing what you're saying about the situation that you want to see changed. Don't take this lightly, because it works. Faith works, but it works by love. If you're speaking words of faith but there's no love with it, it's not as effective. And so when Paul wrote these letters and he talked about following him as he follows Christ, you see that connection. In Hebrews, I don't know who the writer was. A lot of times parts of it, it sounds like it's Peter and it sounds like it's Paul, because their writing styles, I'll leave the theologians to decide that, but I've read it so many times, it sounds like it could be either of those two. I wouldn't mind being wrong, because it still reads good. I spend a lot of time in Hebrews. But it says that you not be slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Many of God's promises are conditional. Usually the condition is up front and the promise comes after the condition. It's just the way that the word is written. And so usually among Pentecostals, we're the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it generation, the people that have all these things, because we've learned that that's really what's happening. Name it and claim it. You know, we take a lot of mocking in the more denominational type approach to the gospel and the simplicity of faith that we've learned to have. If you see that promise in the Bible, start thanking God for it. But also in your diligence, make sure that you keep the condition in the beginning of the promise. And then you've got something solid and you can have full assurance of faith. Why? Because you've based it on what God said. And that's really basically one of the very, very few things that really matter. It's what we're confessing, it's what we're speaking, it's what we're believing for. Is it something God said? Is it something He said we could have as part of our inheritance? Some promises are for now, and some for in the sweet by and by when we take our last step across the river. There are still promises awaiting that are yet to be fulfilled in our lives. And even in this earth life, there are still promises that God has made that are not yet fulfilled in our lives. But because He said that, we can have full assurance of faith. That means no room for doubt. Cast out the doubt. Now follow those who through faith and patience. Patience means having the ability to endure with thanksgiving and a good attitude until you actually possess that which God says is yours. See, that's a different kind of faith. There's faith, and then in our Bible study downstairs on the Holy Spirit, there's also what's called the manifestation of faith. And Barbara, I think that might be... we had that conversation as we started reading into those. The manifestation of faith is seeing it already done. And there's some biblical examples, the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I may touch the hem of His garment, I'll still be cast out and I'll still be sick and go home and live a short life. See, she had something. She had something that the religious leaders lacked. And yet she was the one that was cast aside by their religious rules. But she said, if I may touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. That right there is the manifestation of faith. She already saw it. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus, my daughter lies at home at the point of death. That wasn't a negative confession. We would think it was, oh, don't say that, she'll be dead before you get home. Yeah, well, he told Jesus the truth. But then he said, but if you come and lay hands on her, she will live. You see, these people weren't even saved yet. And what about us who are? And we're so impatient sometimes to just stand however long it takes. We never had a house before to live in. We always rented apartments in that dumpy old trailer in the swamps of South Florida. But that's where Jesus came in the middle of the winter and saved us, because He didn't want to be in cold Vermont. And He came south for about 10 minutes to Florida and came to our mobile home and got saved. It was so cool. It was warm, actually. But that kind of faith is very real. And it is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can get out of that and exercise our own faith as physical faith, too. This is just an observation. I came in this morning and I said, I'm going to see how many people are going to tip the chair upside down, see if there's a broken leg on one of them. Yeah. Oh, you're the pride of the kingdom. I didn't see any of you doing that. Why is it we can do that, but we doubt what God has said? So I would just encourage you today, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Those are the people that God puts in your life that you'll want to follow, because they lead by example. And when Paul said that in the beginning, there were people that were still terrified of him because they still knew him as Saul of Tarsus. And he did not have a very good reputation among the church community. And so when they first heard that he got saved and he was preaching, there were a lot of them that were very hesitant to accept that as truth based on his previous life. And I would say unto you today, don't let people talk you out of your walk or compromising anything if they knew you before you were saved. Don and I joke with each other because we both knew each other when we weren't saved. Cheryl Kay and I knew each other years ago. Her older sister dated my older brother. We go back years ago in Bellis Falls to our hippy-dippy dope days. And it's so exciting to see how the Lord is drawing ones back to people that we knew many, many years ago, and now we're in the kingdom. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody never gave up on us. And don't you give up on your kids or your grandchildren. Take what God has spoken, even if it was that verse in Ephesians chapter 6. That got me convicted. Honor your mother and father. In my opinion, I didn't have a mother or a father that I felt were worth my honoring. It was a terrible, terrible broken home situation. It was a lot of abuse, verbal, physical. And there was nothing in me that wanted to honor them, that wanted to love them. And then I got saved. And all of a sudden, it was so easy within 10 minutes of salvation to forgive every person by name through my whole life. It was all done right then that night. And the other thing that happened was our pastor said, you know, that same faith that saved you is the same faith that's forgiven all of your sins, and now you need to forgive everyone else that's wronged you. And I did it all in one shot, so I never had to drag that into my new faith. And then it was easy to honor my mother and father, but they both died before I got saved. So it was kind of backwards. But even though they died, I never had that honor and respect for them until after I got saved. And then I came to realize that even a bad family is better than no family. And it's subject to change. And we began to speak these words over our children and over our families and over other people, our friends that were still strung out on drugs. And we saw, I'm standing before you as a living proof that this stuff really, really works. But we have to watch what we say once we've spoken these words in faith, to be diligent and don't just get up and off the cuff and undo it that quick. Once you start, you got to stay with it no matter what it looks like. And some people I know have waited a long time. And that may be some of you. Don't ever give up. Don't stop thinking about it. Go to bed thinking about it. And you'll usually find yourself asleep because the devil don't want you meditating on the word. He'll put you into a coma quick, boom, 5 seconds, you're done. Sleep good till morning and wake up and forget what you were thinking about before you went to sleep. Anyway, there you go.